chapter.
Isaiah 9 and verse 6. Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Father, we thank you for loving us so much that you gave us your Son. Teach us more about him today, so that we might have hope and put our faith in him and rejoice. And we ask you to do this in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week we focused on the throne name, Wonderful Counselor. And we learned that this points to the eternal counsel that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit had before the foundation of the world to plan and purpose our salvation. And not only that, all things were conducted there that we see throughout history. But do you realize that the eternal plan and purpose of God is incomplete on its own? You say, well, Pastor, what do you mean it's incomplete? You have the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit working out all things, planning all things. But you see, without the power to bring all things about, the plan and purpose would fail. But we know it cannot fail. Why? Because we read in Isaiah 9 here in verse 6, that he's not only called Wonderful Counselor, speaking of Jesus, but also Mighty God, Almighty God, who has the power and the might and the ability to bring about everything that was planned and purposed and determined before the foundation of the world. For he is Almighty God. It is not that he just has might. He is might. I like to refer to the isness of God. He is, not just have. Like water is wet. You see what I'm saying? He is I am. I like to refer to the I am-ness of God. He's all of that, as the young people say today. And God has given us His Son in mighty power that we might have hope and rejoice. And my message today is this: hope and rejoice in Jesus because He is mighty God. Hope and rejoice. Jesus is mighty God. I'm going to say it again. Hope, rejoice. Jesus is mighty God, Almighty. We can rejoice. Why? Because we have our hope in Him when everything else seems hopeless. Jesus is the desire and the hope of the ages. It is everything that people throughout time have yearned for and hoped for, and especially the Israelites. And in this context of Isaiah, we know that the nation of Judah was in great distress. A cloud of gloom and darkness was over them. Why? Because they were threatened from the north by Ephraim, who had gone into a coalition with Syria to destroy them. And there was another threat as well. There was the ever-present threat of Assyria, who was also threatening to destroy them. You ever been like that? If it's not one thing, it's another. Do you have your Assyrians and your Syrians and Ephraimites that you sometimes just feel surrounded on every side? It just seems like every day there's something new that is a threat to you or a concern to you, trouble on every side, every day. There's an old, I think, kind of jazzy blues song that says they call it Stormy Monday. You ever hear that? I think Billie Holiday used to sing that. They call it Stormy Monday, but Tuesday's just the same. And there's another line from another song, yes, stormy weather. Those are all kind of gloomy songs, aren't they? They're kind of hopeless. And Judah and her king were singing that kind of blues. Have you ever been there? It seems like day after day, things seem to be dark. And you get tired, right? You ever been tired of being tired of problems and difficulties? And it just seems like, when is the sun going to shine again in my life? I want to read to you a letter. But before that, we're in the Christmas season. Do you realize that suicides spike during this time? That people are not filled with joy and hope. They get depressed. They become hopeless. Some say that people commit suicide trying to escape their problems, to escape their emotional pain. That may be part of it. But I think that the major reason where people commit suicide is because they lose hope. They become hopeless. That there's no light at the end of the tunnel. And they just, in quiet desperation, give up. The scripture says that without hope, we shrivel up and die. That's my paraphrase from the Proverbs. I want to read you a letter, a note that someone wrote, who were at the end of their rope, surrounded by gloom and doom and pain. In hopelessness. Let me read it to you. This man said, "Oh, that I may have my request that God would grant what I hope for." What was he hoping for? That God would be willing to crush me. That was what he wanted. To let loose his hand and cut me off. What strength do I have that I should still hope? What prospects that I should be patient? Why wait? What am I waiting for? Do I have the strength of stone? Is my flesh bronze? Do I have power to help myself? Now that success has been driven from me, my body is clothed with worms and scabs. My skin is broken and festering. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle, and they come to an end without hope. Remember, O God, that my life is but a breath. My eyes will never see happiness again. That's pretty heavy. Who do you think wrote that note? Who do you think penned those lines? It was Job. It was Job. That's from taken from Job 6, 8 through 12, and 7, chapter 7, 5 through 7. Hopeless. No hope of success. He says, what am I, stone? I'm not that strong. Crush me. Kill me. Hopelessness. Hopelessness is faith. Do you realize that? Hopelessness is the belief, the faith, that our circumstances and our problems are impossible and too hard to solve. But God says. In Isaiah 9, in verse 1 now. See, this is how that whole nation felt. This is how King Ahaz felt. Hopeless. Nothing's going to change. Nevertheless, Isaiah 9 in verse 1, he says, there will be no more gloom. God sent Isaiah to bring hope to the hopeless. Not only to Judah, but to us today. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom. Hallelujah. For those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles. What's going to happen in Galilee? Jesus of Galilee. By the way of the sea along the Jordan, the Galilee of Gentiles. The people walking in darkness. Have you ever walked in darkness? Do you feel like now that you're in a dark tunnel? The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. The light, the morning star has arisen. You know who the morning star is? He is the Messiah. He is Jesus. They've seen a great light. Have you seen that great light of Jesus, that great light of hope on those living in the land, notice, of shadow, of the shadow of death? Have you lived in the land of the shadow of death? He says, a light has dawned. And notice he goes on to say, you have enlarged the nation and increased their joy from gloom and sadness to joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice in the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke. Folks, the yoke has been broken. That burdens them. Whatever your burden is, I'm telling you in the name of Jesus, it has been broken, the rod of their oppressors. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning. It's over. And will be fuel for the fire. Why? For unto us a child is born. To us a son is given. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. That's why I said we must hope and rejoice, because Jesus is Mighty God. And He is our hope. He is our joy. And we need to put our faith and our hope in Him. And not believe the lie that it's hopeless. Not believe the distortions and deceptions that things won't change. Oh, Jesus has come. He has been born, our mighty God, who changes all things and makes all things new. Do you know what mighty God means? You know what that means in Hebrew? The Hebrew word is El Gabar. El means God. Gabar, G-I-B-B-O-R. It really brings it to light, mighty God. Because it's a little bit more than mighty God. There's some other adjectives that it means. It means strong, powerful, and yes, mighty. But this is what I like. It also means champion. Champion. Hero, superhero. Unto us is born, and his name shall be called Superhero, Champion. He's our Superman with his S on his chest. You know, people always need somebody to look up to. They always look for somebody to come in and save them. To come and save the day. They always look for someone to deliver them. They realize they're weak. And you can look out through history, even those who were not Christian, who were polytheistic, who believed in many gods, their gods, especially in Greek mythology, were heroes, Hercules. Someone to come and deliver them. The stories. They had stories and they had legends. They would tell their children thousands of years ago or hundreds of years ago, there came a man who saved our people. These stories are not just Christian. They're not just in the Bible. They're throughout culture. They always had somebody to look up to. Somebody that they would have songs. And they would tell their children about what happened. You know what S stands for? And Superman? Anybody know? You say, well, Superman, what else? Not. Superman was from Krypton. And the S in the Krypton culture meant hope. 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 Somebody they could hope in. And when planet Krypton was coming to an end and imploding on itself and being destroyed, Superman's father sent him to Earth to give hope to the people. You say, that's a cartoon, but it's interesting that a lot of cartoons and a lot of Marvel series stories, Thor and different ones, Thor came from the land of Asgard. You look at this stuff. Where did they get it from? Superman was sent to the earth to give hope and to deliver people. Where did that come from? I say it came from the Bible. I said these are little things like God. And we see the movies and we hear the stories and we say yes and we're inspired, right? We see these superheroes triumphing. Well, let me tell you something. That's nothing. Jesus, who is man and God, who is the hope of the world, has come to save the day, to roll back all the gloom and all of the sadness, and to do impossible things. Impossible things. We see this in Scripture. With Jesus, mighty God delivered Israel. You know what they did? They wrote it down. Before they wrote it down, they made a song out of it so that people would remember. They would tell oral stories and sing about it. And later they wrote it. Come with me and see the hope and see the joy. In Exodus chapter 15, when hope was given to the people, it is called the Song of Moses. The Song of Moses. Exodus chapter 15. And verses 1 through about 18 is the Song of Moses. I won't read it all, but I'll read a little bit. So after God delivered them through the Red Sea, then Moses and the Israelites sang this song. They wanted people to remember. They were rejoicing. They were in an impossible situation. They were in Egypt and they thought it would never end. They were in darkness and pain and suffering, and there seemed to be no hope but God. And Moses and the children of Israel sang a new song. I will sing to the Lord, for He is highly exalted. The horse and the rider, He has hurled into the sea. Notice He, God's mighty God, Jesus, has hurled them into the sea. The Lord is my strength.
and my song. He has become my salvation. He's my hero. He's my champion. He's my God, and I will praise Him. My Father's God, and I will exalt Him. The Lord is a warrior. See, He's a fighter. The Lord is His name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army. He was hurled into the sea. The best of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the Red Sea. In other words, Pharaoh put forth the best of his mighty men. Oh, but their arms were too short to box with God. And God knocked them out. He put the hammer down, as Thor does. The best of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the Red Sea. And the deep waters have covered them. And they sank to the depths like a stone. Your right hand, oh, God's powerful. Oh, Lord, how majestic is your power. How majestic in power your right hand, oh, Lord. Shattered enemies. In greatness of your majesty, you threw down those who opposed you. You unleashed your burning anger and consumed them like stubble. By the blast of your nostrils. Look at the color here. Look at the dynamic description. The breath of your nostrils, like out of his nose, to fire to consume them. I mean, this is very colorful. This is very descriptive. This is like legend. Put in human terms of this Superman who's God in man. By the blast of your nostrils, the waters piled up. The waters just parted like a wall. And the deep waters concealed the heart of the sea. I'm not gonna read all of it. Verse 11, though. Who among the gods is like you? Thor? Hercules? Who? Iron Man? All right, who? Certainly not the Hulk. He can't control his anger. Let us go on. Who among the gods is like you, O Lord? Who is like you? Majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders. You stretch out your right hand. Again, keep talking about that right hand. Bam, bam, because he pounded his enemies. Bam. You stretch out your right hand. And the earth swallowed them up. In your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, mighty God, you shall guide them to your holy dwelling. Hope and rejoice in Jesus, God, mighty God. See, there's nothing too hard for Him. Now, if we can look at movies and say, and know from the beginning, when it's a superhero movie, we know right in the beginning that the superhero is going to win. I've never seen one that when it was in doubt. Or they may want to make you think it's in doubt. But he always wins, right? Why can't we believe that God, our hero, Gabor, is always going to win in our situation? Why can't we believe it? Why do we live under what seems the impossible? With God, our mighty God, all things are possible, right? Why can't we believe? Why don't we look at it? Nothing is too hard for God. Put your hope in Him. And when we've got our hope in Him, automatically we're going to rejoice, not be down. Because there's nothing too hard, nothing impossible for Him. Sickness, job challenges, family problems, whatever your mountain is, whatever your Red Sea is, you got any rivers that you can't cross? You know, in 1929, There was a man by the name of Oscar Eliason. And he lay in a bed in Minnesota, Minneapolis, dying of cancer. And he wrote a song. And originally the song was entitled, Got Any Rivers? I want to read you some of the lines of that song. Today, in gospel circles, it is called God Specializes. Anybody ever hear that song? God Specializes. And he wrote this. Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible. He does things others cannot do. God specializes. You know, that man recovered. It was all in the newspapers in Minnesota. Obviously, he eventually died because we're all going to die. But he recovered because he believed that God specializes in things thought impossible. Put your hope in Him and rejoice. You see, this is all about the birth of Jesus. Mighty God was born in an impossible situation. Something that was hard to believe. That's why in Isaiah 7 he gave Judah a sign, gave Ahaz a sign, because he thought his situation was too hard for God. All these enemies. He said, I'm going to give you a sign. A virgin's going to conceive. Well, that's impossible. How a virgin going to conceive? And when he's born, you shall call him Emmanuel, God with us. He wanted them to know that God will never leave us nor forsake us. That God's with you, even in your difficult situation. And even as a virgin conceives and has a baby, nothing's too hard for God. And we see centuries later in Luke chapter 1, turn there with me, Luke 1 and verse 34, that the fulfillment, the ultimate fulfillment of that occurred. It occurred in King Ahaz's time, and it occurred in its ultimate fulfillment here with Mary. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 34, the angel tells Mary that she's going to have a child. And Mary says, this is impossible. How, in verse 34, will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I'm a virgin. And the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, which that was thought impossible. And she, who is said to be barren, is in her sixth month. And this is so powerful, so wonderful. For nothing is impossible with God. Do not lose hope. Do not quit. Do not give up. Keep trusting the Lord. For nothing is impossible with God. And what did Mary say? I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you said. She believed. And the angel left her. Yes, God specializes in things thought impossible. Things that seem too hard. Put, my brothers and sisters, your hope in mighty God. In your hero. In your champion. Worship and praise and magnify His name. And admit to God, God, I am weak. And God, yes, I do get hopeless and tired and want to quit sometimes. Admit it to God. Let Him know you're weak. He's not called you to be El Gabar. He is that. As James said in James chapter 4 and verse 8, God resists the proud anyway, but he gives grace to the humble. He gives grace to those who realize that they need a Savior, that they need a champion, that they need hope. And the hope is in a person, Jesus, who is mighty God. And then call out to him. Call out to him. Help me, God. Deliver me, for I am weak. I am reminded of a song called Call on Jesus. Perhaps you have heard that song. It's by Michelle Mullen. Let me read you some words. She says, I'm so ordinary, nothing special on my own. I've never walked on water. I have never calmed a storm. Sometimes I'm hiding away from the madness around me, like a child who's afraid of the dark. Don't be afraid any longer. But when I call on Jesus, she says, all things are possible. I can mount on wings like eagles and soar. When I call on Jesus, mountains gonna fall, because he'll move heaven and earth to come and rescue me when I call. Call on Jesus. Weary brother, broken daughter, widowed lover, you're not alone. If you're tired, scared of the madness around you, if you can't find the strength to carry on, call on him in the morning, in the afternoon time, late in the evening. He'll be there. When your heart is broken and you feel discouraged, you can just remember that he said he'll be there. It's powerful. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm Emmanuel, God with you. I am El Gabar. Put your faith in him. And as Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 8 through 9, he recorded the words of Jesus. And Jesus said this to Paul in his weakness, in his helplessness. My power is made perfect in weakness. In other words, the weaker you are, the more powerful God can be. And he is. Paul said, therefore, I will boast the more about my weakness, so that the power of God, mighty Christ, may rest upon me. Listen, my brothers and sisters, to the word of the Lord. Put your hope in him. And magnify him. Sing about your superhero. Boast about your champion, even as Mary did. In conclusion, let's go back to Luke chapter 1. After the angel spoke to her, notice Mary's song. That's what it says. Her song. It's called the Magnificat in Latin, because it means to magnify the Lord, brag on him, boast on him. And Mary said and sang, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. This legend, this truth lives on today. For the mighty one, who's the mighty one? Jesus, El Gabar, has done great things. My hero has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him. From, notice, generation to generation, he has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts, and he has brought down rulers from their thrones. But he's lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. My brothers and sisters, you are the seed of Abraham by faith. You are the Israel of God, to whom the mighty God has been sent. He's ever present. He is there with you always. Put your hope in mighty God. Magnify Him. Rejoice in Him. For He has delivered you. And He has saved you. Let us hope and rejoice in Jesus, mighty God. Father, we thank You so very much for Your love. To love us so much that You send us a deliverer, a Savior, a mighty God, a powerful God. There's none like You, Jesus. And we praise You. When we're down, when we're hopeless, when we want to give up, don't let us. Make us stand, God, through faith in Your Son. And let us rejoice and have hope in this season and forever. Amen.